we go again, Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, after a fortnight in which Kitchy looked poor in Rangers draw and RNF steam ahead, leaving Lee Man for dead. We've got a lot to discuss in this edition, all the latest from the Premier League, some Senior Shield fixtures on the way, and news on the Hong Kong national team's upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Stay with us. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I am, as is so often the case, joined by Tobias Zuse. Hello, Toby.
Hello, James.
How's it going?
All right. Not your guest yet, so I'm still fine. How about you?
Also untier guest, I'm pleased to report. How was your football watching weekend?
It was not bad. I finally made it again to Hammerhill Road Sports Ground. And the first thing I noticed is that I haven't been there for a very long time.
What's changed?
The team that plays inside.
Is but, that it?
Yeah, other than that, still the same. Great crowd, old people. And yeah, no, good atmosphere. I liked it.
Yeah? Okay, we'll get to that in a little while. But in a very surprising result, Kitchy dropped 2 points at the weekend to Rangers, drawing 1-1 in Chuen Mun thanks to a last-minute penalty. Jared Lum's free kick put the Blues ahead in the 27th minute, and that was a very nice free kick indeed. It was the Australian who won the free kick as well, and Kitchy had plenty of chances after that, and with 15 minutes left, Sewai Chun was sent off for Rangers. That was for his second yellow card. But Kitchy couldn't make the man advantage count. And in the 95th minute, left back Danny Cancela brought down Ander. A penalty was awarded. Danny couldn't believe it, obviously. But nonetheless, Ander put it away to earn a point for Rangers. I was very surprised by this result.
Me too. Especially, I have looked at the result and I saw it's 93rd minute. I already booked it as a Kitchy win. And then just hours later, I found out, oops, they actually really conceded a last minute equalizer.
Yeah, one of the supposed favorites for the title against widely seen as the worst team in the league until quite recently.
Well, that actually means that Kitchy haven't won a game since August 30th.
And how, I mean, has there many games happened since then?
Not too many games, but it's a bit disappointing, I think, the start into the season. I think they are now fifth in the table. Still not too far away from the top, right? I mean, at that point, everyone at so far has dropped points. It's not that they are completely gone by now, but pressure is mounting for them.
They've played four league games and they've only won one. That's not the kind of form that wins you the league. Yeah, a surprisingly bad start for the former champions. Rangers are down in eighth, but 4 points from their opening five matches is probably a little better than some people expected. They did also have a goal disallowed in this one. Chris Annan kind of toe-poked home on the line, but he was given offside. It was tight, but It was one of those situations where actually the goalie was in front of the player. So you kind of forget that you need a goalie and a defender between the player and the line. So he was disappointed. But on the whole, I think Rangers are going to be pretty pleased with that result. Eastern are still top after a 2-1 win over Happy Valley. Toby, as we mentioned a moment ago, you were at that game and you were saying that Eastern were pretty lucky to get away with that win.
Yeah, I would say Eastern were still the better side, all things considered. But indeed, they didn't look like a title winning side that particular afternoon. They had a very good start, but then it soon dropped. And at the half hour mark, it was almost like a very competitive game between two even sides. And especially the midfield with Wong Wai didn't look very promising at that point. And yeah, in the end, a 2-1 win over the newly promoted Happy Valley. Not such an impressive performance altogether.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the half hour mark. All of the goals were scored by then. A couple of Brazilians put Eastern 2-0 up. Diego Elli with a powerful header. And John Moser finishing with ease after some nice work. Well, what I thought was some nice work from Wong Wai, although I've only seen the highlights, you're telling me he didn't really have the best of games. Although nice to see him back in action. It's been a few months now that he's been clubless. And a little later, Igor Mijovic headed home to make it 2-1. Mijovic actually had to leave the field in the second half. He was substituted off, right? Because he took some kind of head injury and it was blood everywhere. Hope he's feeling better.
Yeah. Well, for once, a head injury without Batens involved, so not too bad.
Oh. So the result is not bad for Eastern, or even if the performance was substandard. They're still top of the league. And Toby, you also wanted to mention a young Happy Valley player.
Yeah, so in our special segment, Hong Kong Football Podcast Youth Watch, we usually talk about players that are the age 23 or 24, 25, because this is considered to be youth talent in Hong Kong. But indeed, once in a while, you actually see really young players in action. And for Happy Valley in particular, there's one player who has been a regular this season so far. His name is Lai Pui K. He's still 17 years at the moment. I think he just turns 18 in December, later this year. He actually got a lot of attention last season when he played for Chelsea Soccer School and scored a lot of goals there. And at the moment, yeah, he really is one of the best players for Happy Valley on the pitch. Very active, very fast, very talented for sure. And certainly a player to watch out for. He already plays for the Hong Kong under-19 national team at this very moment, and soon probably might be worth it to be called up for the senior team as well. We have seen young players like Yue Zhen Nam and so on as well coming into the senior team. But interestingly, compared to these guys now, like Yue or the players at Kichi, Chen Jinlong, or even like Yu Yang and Chen Jinichi, then they are not really playing regularly. But he is the guy who is really playing for full games every week. And yeah, this serves our attention a little bit more for sure.
Yeah, Lai Pui K, remember the name. Also near the top of the table, RNF battered Li Man 5-1 in Guangzhou. So that is 13 goals in their last two games. You'll remember they beat Yunlong 8-0 last time out in the league.
How many of these goals were scored by Serge Deble?
Well, he got a hat trick in this one. Deadly Deble. So that's 7 in those two games. So he got half. But just over half of those 13 goals. Yeah, like I say, he got a hat-trick in this game against Li Man. Not bad going for him. Giovanni Da Silva and Igor Sartori were also on the score sheet. And we thought Li Man were doing so well.
Yeah, very true. I was expecting they could give them a more competitive or even game. Maybe it was the intimidating atmosphere of Guangzhou. Yeah, it's surprising. Also given that RNF, the weekend before that, they had another revenge game with Yunlong. After the 8-0 victory over Yunlong in the league, they faced them again in the Sapling Cup, and then it turned out to be a draw. So, you know, all the things seem to be very arbitrary this season. All results are possible. So I'm not even sure yet how to read this 5-1 result, if it means that Li Man were really that weak, or if RNF already like completely on the track for the championship. But it looks so far that's the side to beat this season. And the loss against Eastern, the 4-0 home loss against Eastern for RNF, maybe have just been a bad day for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. You texted me a couple of days ago and you said that this isn't looking very good for the Premier League as a whole. Kichi with their very flaky start. Eastern, who you weren't impressed by and who actually haven't, apart from that 4-0 win over RNF, been all that convincing. Southern, we'll get to in a moment. They had a disappointing result as well. It currently looks like RNF are the only team who are doing it at the moment. And how's that going to affect the rest of the season?
So just for the record, usually my text messages don't sound that well crafted. So that's not how I wrote it. But yeah, I mean, it's still early in the season. And because of the match delays and the postponement of the games, it's still a little bit weird to look at the league because you have a couple of teams who just played 4 games, a couple of teams who played 5 games already. So it's still all a little bit distorted. But yeah, I think what now is really emerging is that RNF indeed, as you call it at the beginning of the season, are the team that is most likely to win the championship, given the squad, the depth that they're having. Also given the form of the players, I think. Probably, as it seems, it's not so much Igor Sartori who might be the big game changer for them, but it looks like it's Deadly Deble who is really putting a mark on this season. Of course, now in the next weeks, they will then have to face at some point Kichi and Salvan. And if they would also sweep through these games, then it's certainly an early indication of what's coming. Whereas if you have mentioned, and as I've mentioned to you before, yeah, Eastern, I'm still a little bit doubtful, having seen them last week and against Happy Valley. Still early doors, right? Let's see what the next weeks bring. Maybe by Christmas we have a better idea what's going on.
Yeah, and one thing that is worth mentioning, it's a while away, and we'll talk about this in the next edition, but in the next round of fixtures in the league, you've actually got RNF versus Southern and Kichi versus Eastern. So this could all look a little bit different, even in one game week's time. But there's a FIFA break and there's a Senior Shield break, so it's actually in quite a few weeks' time. But elsewhere, not quite at the summit of the table, Pegasus drew with Southern 2-2. This one, I don't know whether to say it was controversial circumstances, but there was some controversy. Can you fill us in?
Yes, indeed. What would be a weekend at the Hong Kong Premier League without a proper controversy, proper low-key controversy. And in this case, it relates to Chang Chun-hui, who is the goalkeeper for Pegasus. And for some reasons, what the club called discipline problems, he was released right after the game. His contract was terminated. And this comes at the back of this 2-2 draw and a very late equalizer that Pegasus conceded.
Yeah, and he didn't do well. Nobody does well out of most of this game. But the ball, well, it's kind of like a ball over the top. And Hoi Wang Fung is through. And Zhang is kind of stood in completely the wrong place. And he should come for the ball. He doesn't come for the ball. And then by the time that Hoi goes to shoot, like, Zhang is just completely out of... It's a bizarre thing to watch. I urge you to go and watch the highlights of this game. We don't know what happened afterwards, do we?
Right, I agree with this. But I think that the three defenders who are involved also don't look great in this moment. And it seems actually one defender was like calling for the keeper at that point. It all seemed to be like a complete miscommunication in that situation.
Yeah, and we had like something similar at the other end, right? The reason that Sasaki Shu scored the first goal, which got Pegasus 1-0 up, I think it was Beto Fronza is attempting to do the same thing. He's trying to hand the ball over to Seh Tak Him in goal. Seh doesn't come and Sasaki just takes the ball off Fronza and scores. He does very well. And that's classic Sasaki, like constantly bothering the last defender, and he gets his just rewards. Pegasus were 2-0 up pretty quickly. Charles Lokalingoi with a very nice little finish at the near post. But Nikola Komazec got one back for Southern on the hour mark. And then, as we just discussed, in the 93rd minute, you had the controversial goal for Pegasus. Not a high quality game on the whole, which is a shame because Southern have had a good start to the season and they're a good team.
Yeah. But what do you expect on a Monday, 7:30 p.m.
at the Hong Kong Stadium?
Yeah. It was a bit weird to schedule it that early because I know from other people who struggle to make it to the stadium by 7:30. If you're off work and you are not living on the island, good luck.
But you should...
You should take a day off.
Why was it moved forward? Was it because of the MTR early closure?
I have no idea, because the MTR closed what time? 10? Yeah, maybe.
But speaking of the MTR closure, you should never leave a Pegasus game early.
Yeah, that's
always
very true.
Late drama. This is so they've had a couple of games where they've equalized or they've won it late on.
It's worth the tear gas and the overpriced Uber.
And now they've got one where they lost. They dropped a couple of points in the last couple of minutes. Now, that would have been a massive result, Pegasus beating Southern. But, well, it wasn't to be because Zhang Chun-hui had discipline problems. So he's looking for a club, if anyone's interested.
Yeah, 36 years of age. That's usually, in Hong Kong terms, career peak.
Yeah, he's just hitting his peak. So if you've got like a Sunday league team, you're in the Yao Yi League, give Zhang a call. And finally, Tai Po won the New Territories Derby, beating Yuen Long 3-1. It's not often that we talk about the high press in Hong Kong football, but that was how Tai Po's first goal came along. Yuen Long defence quite easily dispossessed Kim Min Ki with the finish. Yuen Long were down to 10 men by halftime. Pang Chiu Yin was gone for his second yellow. They did get it back to 1-1, but then Michael Lugo and Dudu scored, and it was what looked like a relatively easy win for Tai Po.
Yeah, important 3 points for Tai Po. Gives them some breathing space in the table. And yeah, not ideal for Yuen Long because it leaves them at the bottom of the table with just 2 points.
Yeah.
And that means, yeah, they should start winning soon. They will face now a lot of the other struggling teams. So there is some hope, of course. Pegasus is just 1 point ahead of them at this stage. So still not all hope gone. But yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, they're certainly struggling. They've had tough fixtures, very tough fixtures. Their fixtures are going to get a little bit easier soon. And we hope to see them off the bottom of the table. Not that there's any favoritism here. Not saying that there's anyone else I would rather have at the bottom. But yeah, Tai Po are up in sixth.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we've got some big international fixtures coming up for Hong Kong.
As big as it gets.
As big as it gets. Where should we begin?
Well, chronologically, maybe with the Bahrain game first.
Sorry. Normally it's my job to say where we begin. That was a bit of a curveball. So Hong Kong versus Bahrain on the 14th of November. This will be at the Hong Kong Stadium, 8 p.m. kickoff. I'm sure it will be a sedate, dignified affair. Yeah, so obviously we're going to have all of the usual protesty, anthem booing aspects.
But it should be a good crowd.
It should be a good crowd. And in amongst all of that, there will be a football match.
Indeed. And a tough one as well.
Very tough.
Right.
How tough, Toby?
Very tough. very tough. That's it. So move on to the Cambodians. Bahrain indeed had a very good campaign so far. They are second placed in the group. I have 7 points. So on the same points with Iraq, which are first. Iran, interestingly, are just third right now in the group table. Bahrain has a very good result recently against Iran. They beat them 1-0 at home, which is impressive, given that Iran are the ones who beat Hong Kong easily, 2-0, relatively easily, who beat Cambodia 14-0. And Bahrain was so far the candidate we believe would be the team that Hong Kong needs to beat in order to get the third place in the group. But yeah, it seems that that's getting more out of reach by now. So it will be a tough game. That said, Bahrain apparently not known for very offensive football. So they seem to want to keep the defense tight. They never score a lot of goals, but they will certainly look for a win against Hong Kong. And I'm not sure if our team is in the right form right now to face them.
We were quite interested in the Iran game when Miksu Pantelimon, the Hong Kong coach, played a 4-3-2-1 formation. I mostly call it that because it's quite easy to remember. It actually worked quite well against Iran in that it limited their opportunities, and if the front man has a good game, then you might get a couple of chances. And it took a lot of effort from the wingbacks, Choi Wankit and Lord Zichun, but they had a good game. Do you think he'll stick with that again?
Probably. I would assume that given the current situation in the group, that Hong Kong basically needs to play for winning at this point, because what's the point if you are finishing the group with like 2 points in the end?
Mm.
We are now having 1 point out of the first 4 games. So I would assume that maybe Hong Kong might try a little bit more of an offensive strategy in that regard, also given that it's in front of a home crowd. But that would be a kind of new approach as well, and we are not sure how this will work out.
There was a decent crowd last time. What was it, 13,000?
14, yeah.
In the end. Everyone seems to have a great time, venting a lot of anger, which is always enjoyable.
Yes.
I imagine we'll see something quite similar for this game as well. After that, we've got Hong Kong versus Cambodia. Same venue, same time. But this is on the 19th of November. Now, out of the entire qualifying process, this is surely the one game that Hong Kong should be the favourites for. Or at least, if nothing else, it's the game that they have to win to stand any chance of even finishing off the bottom of the group.
That's very true. But we have said this also for the away game for Cambodia at the opening match of the campaign. But yeah, that's the game that they are expected to win in any case. Now that said, I think a lot of people are also looking forward to maybe see Keisuke Honda coming to Hong Kong at that point to coach the Cambodia national team as well. That will be interesting, as we will see definitely a different Hong Kong side in terms of really creating goal chances and trying to score.
Okay, so with those games coming up, who is in the squad?
Well, of course, we have our regulars. I think in goal, there won't be any changes. Yap Hung Fai actually looks quite okay this season, and throughout the national team performance is always very satisfying. For the defenders, there might be some changes because Helio is injured for Kichi. So he was a regular under Miksu Pantelimon. Dani Kansela, I believe, has picked up 2 yellow cards. So at least he might miss the Bahrain game, which means in terms of center backs, we will probably rely again on Andy Russell. It'll be interesting who gets the second place next to him. Maybe Roberto Afonso. Both of these guys, however, already have a booking as well at this point. But then you have also still the guys like Phung Hinh Hwa and Leung Nok Hang, who haven't really got the chance yet to really start. And that might be an interesting option to bring some of these guys in.
One notable absentee there is Festus Bayes, of course, not recalled after, well, he said he was injured, didn't turn up for Hong Kong duty, and then played for his club. So it looks like he's persona non grata at the moment. That's a big loss, probably the best centre-back. Helio is probably the second best centre-back. He's injured. Yeah, people who you're talking about, Roberto Afonso, Andy Russell, and yeah, maybe someone like Leung Nok Hang could get an opportunity here.
Yeah, I'd hope so. And of course, then on the wings, I think Lord Zichun and Choi Wankit so far have done pretty well.
Definitely.
And could also replace Dani Kansela if he is out being suspended. In the midfield, I'm curious if Wong Wai makes the final cut for the 23 man squad because he really didn't look in form. Tan Chun Lok, I believe, deserves a similar question mark because he is now with the Guangzhou R&F team in the CSL, but so far has only appeared in a cup game, I believe, and like a few minutes in a league.
Well, this is like a serious issue now, right? A lot of players, especially players who aren't playing in Hong Kong, who should be starting 11 players for Hong Kong, aren't getting enough game time for their clubs. I'm also thinking of Andy Russell in Hebei, Alex Akande with Dalian Yifang, and the players you've just mentioned, Wong, who's only just getting back into the Eastern team, and Tan at RNF.
And we have seen in recent games, Wong actually didn't really get playing time in the national team as well, so he didn't seem to be back to his peak form that he had at some point with Tai Po. That said, I think like Xu Deshuai has been looking quite good this season. Also looked, I think, maybe as the best player for Eastern last weekend. Chu Yingzhi did not play too much, but still like is always like a good option to have. Huang Yang certainly will start, no question about this. And then I would prefer having probably Philip Chen over Wong Wai in the team at this very moment, as he is like the more regular and stable guy. And when it comes to forwards, of course, as you mentioned, Alex Akande will certainly be back in the team, even though he doesn't play much or at all with Dalian at the moment. James Ha seems to be back from injury. We missed him at the latest away game in Iraq. So hopefully he can fulfill a similar role that he did back in September against Iran. And then I believe it will be against Sandro and Sun Minghim who make the cut. Both of them are regulars for Tai Po at this very moment. Sandro scores his obligatory goals, whereas Giovanni Da Silva usually never seems to really make the final cut at his ripe age of 37, 38, which is understandable, I believe, at that point as well. So what are your expectations for these two games? Are you very optimistic?
I think we have to be optimistic about the Cambodia game, because if Hong Kong can't win that, given the wider context of the group and the fact that they didn't get a win away from home in Cambodia, we are due a reassessment of Hong Kong's position in the Asian football pyramid, because I think we have a few years been working on the assumption that Hong Kong aren't a bottom rung team in Asia. They're kind of like second bottom. And that's how it works in the rankings, right? Hong Kong is in the second bottom pot. And if you get to the point where you can't get a win in two games against Cambodia, then you would have to start to wonder about whether, not so much whether Hong Kong has gone backwards, but whether a lot of the other teams in the region have gone forwards in the past few years without Hong Kong doing anything from what, since when they kind of peaked in performance in 2015. So given that I really don't want to face that reality, I'm gonna really hope that they do win that game. It will be interesting to see Miksu Partalainen and how he goes about trying to win that game. Because like you say, they can't line up against Cambodia like they did against Iran, and like we expect them to line up against Bahrain. It's perfectly understandable to do that against those teams. Iran, if things have gone differently, we could have got a very lucky draw. Maybe there was like 100-1 shot, a very lucky win. And I actually thought it was a good setup. Personally, I think it would be a good move to do that against Bahrain as well. But it will be interesting to see how he can go about taking the game to Cambodia. It didn't work in that friendly against Taiwan, which is like a similar kind of level of team. Hong Kong lost that game.
And it didn't work against Cambodia in the first game.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. So it's interesting.
it is.
Yeah. What I would say is I'm much more interested by that game than I am by the Bahrain game.
Yeah, actually me the same. At the beginning, I was looking more forward to the Bahrain game as when I still thought it would be the kind of decisive game for third place.
Yeah.
But this seems...
Do you remember that?
Remember that time, yes. but yeah, I very much agree. And very recently, the Hong Kong Football Association have released their long-term vision with a very ambitious goal of qualifying for the World Cup in 2034. Now, I usually think that there's nothing wrong putting this out of a vision, because you know you need to have almost unrealistic goals to at least have an aspiration, right, where you want to be. So I'm not taking like any issues with this, but yeah, it would of course be a very serious blow, as you said, if you cannot win against teams in the region that are not the main barrier for a World Cup qualification. At some point, indeed, you would need to look at teams like Bahrain probably at this very moment, who are becoming this kind of second tier team to qualify in the long term.
Okay, so given all of that theorizing, what do you think will happen against Cambodia? You asked me what I thought would happen,
right,
and then all I actually said was, here's why I hope they don't lose.
Yeah, you're like a politician.
Yeah, like in actual fact, what do you predict?
I predict a 3-1 win for Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yes. I believe that one bonus that still we wait for materialization to keep the theoretical tone alive is the home advantage. And given that we probably will see good crowds of 14, 15,000 people at these games. And I think it already had an effect at the Iran game. I hope that, yeah, it will actually turn into this kind of necessary extra boost that will make it easier for the team to score.
And one thing that both of the visiting teams can be sure of is that their national anthem will be impeccably observed. If only to create a contrast with how impeccably observed the March of the Volunteers tune is. Okay, so before all of this international stuff, there will be a round of Senior Shield games. Everyone's favorite tournament is back. That's happening this coming weekend.
The oldest interclub competition of Asia.
And proudly so. It'll start with RNF versus Pegasus in Qingyi.
Yeah, that's random.
I can only see one winner here, RNF.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Pegasus haven't got a goalie anymore. Or they're down one goalie. I guess they've got at least one other. RNF, 13 goals in two games. That was in the league. And I think that they're going to carry on and win this by at least two goals.
By at least two goals. What, you're playing now Asian handicap?
Yeah. I've just got so good at this prediction game that I'm trying to make it harder for myself. Uh-huh. A little later, Eastern will play Southern. That's an interesting one. Mm. At Mongkok Stadium, no less. So probably the game of the weekend in terms of if you want to get down to the stadium and take in some live Senior Shield action. 5:30 kickoff, Saturday the 9th.
I'm still waiting for the proper name of this clash.
The Directions Derby.
Right.
I always called it that and then it never really caught on.
So. I think it caught on already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the battle. Everyone's
saying that direction. On the streets.
Could be an interesting game. Neither team had the best weekend in terms of performances. Southern will be very disappointed with the result against Pegasus, although scoring that equaliser in the last minute is better than losing the game. Kichi are going to play Lee Man the next day. Another interesting clash. This one is in Yuelong, so not that local to many people.
Yeah, and it's the defending Senior Shield champions, right? Kichi, who won the Senior Shield last season. One of the two pieces of silverware they picked up in still a disappointing season.
Yeah.
And Lee Man, of course, defending champions of the Sapling Cup.
Of course, yeah. The cup specialists. Lee Man will want to bounce back from that 5-1 loss at RNF. But on the whole, they're still having a very good season. So I could see them winning this.
Yeah. And Kichi, as you mentioned at the beginning, they haven't won since August 30th. So it might be an important turnaround for them to find their way back on track.
But they will still be without Helio, as we discussed earlier. So they're most important centre back. So I guess they will continue with Huang Yang and Ling Ai Hoi at the back. That's not ideal.
Yes, I'm still confused in terms of their lack of defenders and also the non-action so far to sign another defender, given that they have an open Asian quota. Mystery.
Yeah, Yeah, they need to sort that out, especially if Helio is injured. And finally, Taipo are going to play Rangers. This is also at the Mongkok Stadium, if you want to get down there. Sunday the 10th of November. Rangers flying high off that draw in the last minute against Kichi. Taipo flying high after that big win over Yuelong in the New Territories Derby. I don't know who's going to win this. It's probably going to be Taipo.
Well, I hope so. Let's not forget Taipo were finalists as well last season. This was the last time I believe that they lost to Kichi. Taipo are in this weird position at the moment. They're defending champions of the Hong Kong Premier League, but are not anymore this title contending side. But I think maybe exactly this role could lead to being a proper good candidate for the Senior Shield. I'm thinking a little bit of Yuelong a few years ago when they picked up the Senior Shield, where I would see them pretty much in the same position as Taipo maybe this year, like being this kind of mid-table team, showing good performances, but not really being anywhere close to the top. That all said, it seems that Kenneth Kwok is leaving Taipo. As you know, he had a kind of assistant coaching advising role there since the beginning of this season. But yeah, it seems that this has come to an end. Not sure why, it's just something that has been posted by players and we don't know if it is related to any of the recent performances or with Fung Hoi Man, the head coach of Taipo. Or maybe it just means that he is taking up another position elsewhere soon.
Yeah, keep an eye out, see what Ken does next.
Speaking of former coaches, Gary White. He just finished his season where?
In China League One.
Oh, yeah. You kept track. Yes, in China League One. And yeah, he managed indeed to keep his relegation candidates alive. So they stayed in China League One, made sure that they were not relegated. And yeah, that was the end of an exciting year.
Yeah, very interesting. Of course, didn't last 3 months at Hong Kong. Not because he was sacked, because he left to go take up a job at Tokyo Verde in Japan. Didn't go so well, lost that job. And yeah, stabilized a little bit with his current club.
Nantong.
And we're good for him, staving off relegation. In other China League One news, Festus Bayes, former Hong Kong centre-back, he didn't achieve promotion with Guizhou. So he's going to presumably be staying in China League One if he can get a new contract. Anything else? Any other business that you'd like to raise before we end this edition of the Hong Kong Football Podcast?
No, I think that's everything.
Okay, well, listener, have a great weekend at the football. Keep an eye out for those results in the Senior Shield, and maybe we'll see you down at the Hong Kong national team's games at the Hong Kong Stadium. Hope your team wins. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.